this morning, I give it to you. It says, Abba, Father, we praise you and thank you for being our good, good Father. Thank you that you are raising up mighty, godly men in this hour, those who know and honor you with their entire lives. We pray that they would stand firm in their faith, walk wisely, follow hard after you. May they continue to grow in their love and their passion for you, for their families, and in the calling to follow you above all else. Thank you for men who continually fight for their families, who do battle in prayer over all those that they love. Thank you for blessing them mightily with more and more of your presence and your love. In Jesus' all-powerful name, amen. So for you fathers that are out there, I call you prophets, priests, and kings. The encourager of the house, the one who roots out sin in his house, and the one who brings order and love and serves. Prophet, priest, and king. Happy Father's Day to you guys. We're talking about the Father's love. We're doing a series on the Father because we talk about Jesus all the time and the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we forget that Father God's not one out there pointing his finger at us, but that he began the whole process of love. And knowing the Father's love really frees us in a lot of ways from oppression that we suffer during this life because of poor representation last week. Remember we said sometimes we don't have the best, you know, dad or mom that brought us up in a very sweet, loving, godly manner in which was representing heaven the right way. And when it happens in the wrong way, we develop tendencies that we bring into the present that kind of makes us need to be delivered, if you will, or change from glory to glory. Hence, when we're having the four-year health seminar, that's what our four-year health seminar is all about. But in talking about the Father's love today, we're going to talk about the Father's love who happens to have a mother's heart. See, he created male and female, both. And the female was to be the helpmate, those that came alongside the man. And the man was to serve the woman, and the woman was to help the man. And we're to become one, and we can get into all that, but that's not for this morning. But understand that the Father does have a mother's heart. He gave mothers their heart from those natures and that part of his nature and quality that he has. And that's what we're going to discuss this morning. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask just the Lord to anoint what's spoken today so that we, and as well as myself, have ears to hear what he has to say. Father, we thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven and you're not a man that you should lie. That all scripture is inspired, both Old and New Testament. It's all to bring us up and to edify us and, Lord, to bring us to a place where we can glorify you. For the chief end of man is to glorify you, Lord, but we're also to equip one another for works of service. And so, Lord, as I speak this morning, Holy Spirit, would you speak and would you take over so that, Father, that which we learn and that which we come into knowledge with will turn into experience and we will actually do and become who it is you say we are. For we love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that comes upon all those with the giftings that you've placed us, such a variety of wonderful people and gifts that are in this room today. I thank you not only for those, but for those in every Christ-centered church, that those gifts even now, Father, are being lifted up to you as sweet incense in Jesus' name. Amen. So people often ask about whether Father God has an aspect of his nature that embraces the heart of a mother. And I would have to say resoundingly, yes, he created women and he created them. We were all created in the image of God. Man with his personality and his character and attributes and nature, and also a woman with her characteristics and nature. And they coming together become what? One. And then we become one, as we should, with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit. So God embraces and is part of and has a mother's heart and a mother's nature. And we see it throughout Scripture in what is very clearly explained and brought forth from the Holy Spirit through those who wrote the Scriptures to us. So what I want you to understand about the Father's love, and that's what we're studying, the Father's love, so you have a better understanding, and hopefully it'll turn into experience, is the mother side of God, that nature of him that is expressed as a mother is to express herself to her husband and to her children and to the world around her. Okay? So we're going to talk about the heart of a mother in Father God. Mothers, first of all, are our first connection to love, bonding, and relationships. I'm going to say that again. Coming into this world, mothers are our first connection to love, to bonding, and relationships. If it's there. And we talked last week about how that responsibility that is on a mother and should be on a mother's heart, sometimes we never receive because you can't give what you don't have. Mothers that never received that bonding, mothers that never received that love or relationship when they were first born, maybe they were abandoned or whatever, never was able to experience, and therefore as they got married and had children of their own, were never able to give that away. So they couldn't give what they didn't have. And then we shake our fists and sometimes at moms, and you know what? It's not really the mom. It goes back, and it goes back to the generation before that, and it ultimately goes back to Satan and sin. And so if you haven't experienced this type of love and relationship and bonding, it doesn't mean that you can't, because God can supernaturally touch you with a mother's heart instantly by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not a sermon. That's not going to do it for you today. It's going to make you aware of what you may have or what you may don't have. But the power of the Holy Spirit living within you can bring forth change. And it can bring it forth in such a way that you become the kind of mother, or have a mother's heart if you're not actually a mother, towards people in the world. We may be hindered from healthy relationships if we didn't receive a mother's love in our formative years, because it's needed for growth and maturity. God designed a mother's heart in a mother to have the role of a mother, to be the helpmeet actually in the Greek, to the husband, specifically so that the child, as they were being raised, would grow and mature with a mother's love. As part of, whether they're male or female, that type of personality and attribute and nature and character in us, because we all need it. We all need a mother's love. We all need a father's love. That's why God created man and woman and brought them together and had marriage, so that the child could be brought up in such a home. And we all know that we've been brought up in somewhat of a broken home, whether or not it was from parents who've been divorced, or whether or not it's because dad didn't have what he had to give to you, or mom didn't have to give it. In some way, aspect, we all need the fullness of what God has to give. And once again, that can't come from man. We can't trust man for that. That has to come from the Father. And that's why we're studying the Father's love. And you can receive that. You just got to ask. You got a daddy that's willing to respond and say yes and amen to those kinds of requests, because he designed you for it. He designed you for it. It's growth and maturity. It's necessary in our formative years in order for us to be healthy and strong in our spirit and in our emotions and in our physical bodies when we're ministering to others in our family. And sometimes we got to go the long way around and bend around and go through the four-year health seminars things, or hear messages, or just simply sit out like a cup of coffee like I did and go before God in order to get there, because we never got it early on. But there's good news, and that good news is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, I've come to now live with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And the Holy Spirit, ultimately, not me or anyone else, is your teacher. And a teacher always wants you to not just learn things, but to apply what you learn. That's wisdom. So there's hope today. If you just sit here and go, oh gosh, yeah, I know, I hear what you say, and I didn't get that, and I feel so denied. Well, don't feel denied anymore, because there's a source of replenishment for you today. Part of it was, and see, that's why we got to let God move and do what he wants to do on his own. Part of this was what we did this morning, as you saw. God, some of you needed the experience of a hug and encouragement of someone coming up and just saying they loved you or hug you and stuff like that, because you never did receive that. And so you can see how God works through the whole time we have together, using all of the gifts, bringing the things that you have. That's why it's not pulpit ministry, it's body ministry. We get the fullness of the picture of God of what he wants for us. And so it was integrated this morning of what we needed. And a mother is that first contact, as I told you, for growth and maturity in our formative years. Without that, we begin to run into a lot of the social problems that we have today. It's been said a lot of times that because children sometimes will grow up, especially males, in a home that maybe didn't have the mother's love, or maybe they, or dad was absent, or all these things. That a lot of the kind of social, and I'm not going to go into all the different types of things that, people buy into other than God, but they do because they never got the proper training, if you will. They never got the nourishment that we need from a mother's heart, from a mother's heart. So breaches, and then breaches means that, you know, you're not getting quite what you needed to get, right? It wasn't right. And a mother's love, whether it was ever intentional to be in your life or unintentional, can leave wounds in a child's heart that can last a lifetime. I want to tell you here today, don't let it last a lifetime. If you recognize some of these things in you and that you never receive some of the things that we're going to be talking about and stuff like that, don't go the rest of your life without it. You don't have to. The Father can give it to you. Why? Because the Father has a mother's heart as well as a father's heart. And He can give Himself to you and vice versa because He lives right here. Never forget how close He is. He's not a distant deity ready to zap the world when it's time. He's right here with us to bring us through the hard times that the world will go through because they don't know Him. And then He'll reform things, and then we'll never have to worry about those things ever again, will we? That's what my book, your book, God's book, His word, His life tells us. Although we possess God's unconditional agape love, did you know that? You may not exhibit it, you may not sense it, you may not feel it, but if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within you, you have unconditional agape love ready to come out on someone or everyone, depending on where you are in your walk with God. Just like some people don't experience. I've never talked in tongues. I never speak in tongues. It's listed. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than knowledge, but I've never experienced it, so you'll never know it. You may go through all your life never speaking in tongues. I don't think Billy Graham said that at one time. I never spoke in tongues. That doesn't mean that it's not real, because the word of, it doesn't lie. It's a gift. And so when it's not operating, it may not be because it doesn't exist anymore. It's because you just personally have never experienced it. And that's the same way with a mother's love. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist and you can't have it. It just means you have not experienced it yet. Agape love lives in you. You are able to express it, but you can't express it until you first received it. Now you've received it from a standpoint of the Holy Spirit there, but the Holy Spirit will never force it on you. We can quench the Holy Spirit, which we don't want to do. And what quenches the Holy Spirit is those that are around us that affect us so deeply and intimately that it actually blocks the Spirit of God from moving in you to express agape love. Because there's too much bitterness and resentment or unforgiveness sometimes in us, and we don't release that and let it go. We don't. It's only hurting ourselves, but when we don't do that, it's a block to receiving God's love. And what is love? God is love. So sometimes we just don't feel intimate with God. We don't feel the embrace of God. We don't experience what we're talking about in this series, the Father's love, because we have these hurts that we've never really gotten over or gotten through or looked at very closely. And today I'm going to have you take a really close look at the Father's mother's heart so that you can reach out for it and receive it if you've not already have. So we possess the unconditional agape love, which is the highest form of what we call deep, profound, sacrificial love. Just look at the cross and you can get a definition of agape. Jesus went to the cross for you. That's agape, unconditional love. You didn't earn it. You can't jump high enough. You're not good enough. He did it because He simply loved you. Created you before you were ever born. He knew you. Formed you in your mother's womb. You may think mom and dad and their intent is what brought you into this world, but not so. God had you thought of and bought of and everything else before mom and dad ever came together. It just happened to be that, you know, you came forth as a result of your mother and father's intent, yes, but before that, God. And He knew you. Hard to understand, very difficult to process something like that with our human brains, and never was to be processed by our human brain. Your spirit man can pick up on it, though. And once again, you don't have to have all the answers. How can you know of eternity? How can you know the scope of the vastness of God as one of his created beings. We can't right now because we're confined in this three-dimensional world we live in. But that's why Jesus could walk through the wall after he resurrected, because he was no longer bound by the three dimensions that we're in now. Scientists say there's up to 11 dimensions and even more that we know about. How many more dimensions than even those 11 is God operating in? Wow, that'll blow your mind. We could leave it right there and send you home, and you'll be like, what? It's the God whom is worthy of you getting on a knee, worthy of you getting on your face, worthy of you dancing and clapping, and the trees would clap, and the wind would howl, and if the rocks could cry out, they would, because of the vast majesty of the God in whom we serve. And we forget that sometimes because we're very visual, we're very sense-oriented, and so, you know, sometimes we just have to receive and accept and by faith believe. Why? Because this has transcended time, and it's never been contradicted. And it's not just the written word, the logos, it's the rhema. It's those times when God's downloaded into your spirit a knowledge, or to do something, or to go someplace, or to keep you from harm, or to do these things that we fail to recognize every day. God's working. We just don't give him the credit that it's due. On a Sunday morning for an hour and 50, I don't know how long we worship, but sing when you're at your sink. Sing when you're at home. Sing when you're out in nature and observing the birds flying and the sun shining, and even when the rain is raining. And even in your most difficult circumstances, sing to let God know it doesn't matter what this world does, my heart's still yours. That's when you know that you're getting mature and growing. And a mother is the one who starts this process, because you have a strong foundation. When you have a strong foundation of love, for God is love, and a strong foundation of that, boy, you can go through the worst of storms. But if you know that you're loved unconditionally, and you're loved even by people, because we're supposed to love one another. Once we love God, we love one another, you can get through anything. God designed it that way, but never be an island and never be alone, and be part of an assembly, be part of a gathering of believers. And not just ones that are just coming because they're doing the dance and they're going through an order of service. Be really a living, loyal part, a brick on the wall of a place where you can function and not just receive, but most of all, give. Because those who give will receive right on back. Agape love, profound, sacrificial, that comes, again, from God. But there is also a love that comes from natural affection. It's not just God's love that you have, but God built us and we were wired for loving one another with a natural type of love and affection. The Greeks, they called it storge love. The word is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. And it's a natural love. It's not the agape love of God, the unconditional love of God, but it's a natural type of love. It includes affectionate touch, kind of like what we did today. A hug is affectionate touch, right? That's storge love. That's stuff that we should pass on one to another, obviously. Today, the world's perverted it. Well, if a woman gets too close and they get a real hug instead of a side hug and stuff like that, then there's going to be lawsuits and there's going to be things of thinking that the guy's trying to, you know, that's what we've morphed into. Those were never the thoughts way back when, but that's what we've morphed into today. And part of that is, okay, I mean, it's wise, it's wisdom. But sometimes it's like when you cry. You don't want to snot when you cry. You can kind of edit that later if you want to. But you know when you get one of those big snot cries where you're crying so hard that you're just, it's just all over you. You don't plan on that. It's not something that is proper, especially when you're standing in front of somebody else and they're kind of backing up like this as you're crying and things are flying from you. But sometimes you need one of those deep, just strong hugs that won't release you, so that you just know that you know that you know that you'll never be released by God. Amen. That's storge love. It's affectionate touch. It's tender tones of voice. God's getting ready to do, and how many preachers' voices have we heard? Ha! Ha! Done! I grew up with some of that. I didn't want to go back to church. Thought the man was going to explode. There's times when you need that kind of voice, especially when discipline is in order. But tender tones of voice seem to catch so many people's attention because the world is so full of noise that when a tender touch of a loving voice comes your way and is directed at you and it hits your heart, boy, does that release a flood of just love throughout you. So it's not just affectionate touch, it's tender tones of voice and loving eye contact. Loving eye contact. How many of you, when you're standing there and you're talking to somebody, and let's just say, Cindy, I'm looking at you. Okay, right, I'm looking at you. Okay? But I'm talking to you, and you're looking at me, and we're having a conversation, and we're relating and stuff like that. But then there's people that talk and say, hey, Cindy, I need to talk to you about your garden out back and stuff, and about all the, how do you keep that fence up and take care of all that the gardening that you do without the deer coming in and the moles coming in and eating all your stuff? And do I really care? Am I showing her that I really care? Or, really, how do you do that, Cindy? Can you see there's a difference? Our tone of voice, our posture, our touch, our tenderness, it all brings a message. There's statistics that say 93% of communication happens from your countenance and what you do and tender tones and all that other stuff. Your words are about 7%. But it's just like arsenic. If you say one cross word, it takes 20 words of praise to counteract that. Even though words are only maybe 7 to 10% of how we communicate effectually, they can be poisonous and very harmful if they're not from God. You understand? We communicate, I'm trying to tell you, in ways in which you are communicating on a regular basis and you never even know it. You never recognize it, and therefore many people are either put off, hurt, or there's so many people that never come into your life because of what you are not giving away. And so many more would be in your life if you just knew what a mother's heart was all about. Storge love, affectionate touch, tender tones of voice, loving eye contact. Studies were done in a concentration camp during World War II on babies who were intentionally denied this natural storge love for 6 months. The Nazis did it. 6 months denied any form of contact. No love, no tender tones of voice, no loving eye contact, no contact. They all died. They were fed, they were nourished, but without love, they all died. Horrible study, right? But it tells us something. You see, it's the mother's natural love for her child that imparts life. It begins life, and it imparts life. As we grow and receive this natural love, we develop a faith that says, when I'm hurting or I've made a mistake, I know someone will find me and help me meet my need. Did you hear that? It builds faith in you when a mother does what she's supposed to, because when I'm hurting or I've made a mistake, I know someone will find me and help meet my need. Why? Because mom was always there in those nurturing, developing years to grow and mature you and let you know that I am here. You can't take care of your own needs. I will meet those needs for you. Now, if you're still doing that at age 40 or 50, you've missed the series that we'll do probably 50 weeks from now. There is a time we grow up and become mature, as Paul said. Get off the milk. Get off the bottle. And we become the vessels that are administering that and not just receiving it all the time. Yeah, that went over big. But we must, and our faith is developed when we know that someone will always be there to care. What a wonderful feeling to be able to carry with you anywhere you go, to know that you'll never be alone. Now remember, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, he's not leaving his throne to come down here to do that. What he's doing is through the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to us, and through people who he is hearing their voice, is ministering to you from him, through them to you. Does that make sense? So you can always know that your needs will always be met. But God's relying upon his best, the church, to meet those needs. Can he do it supernaturally? Absolutely. We know God can do anything. There's nothing that our God can't do. That's that song again. There's nothing that my God can't do. But he chooses and has chosen this dispensation. That means this generation's that we're living in since Jesus left. The church to be his hands and feet of his love, of his ministry, of what he does. So now let's jump ahead 30 to 40 years, okay? You grow up with the first couple of years of mom's storge love, the natural affection, and assuming we've received that and have a good foundation of that loving experience where we know that our needs will be met, and that, that means God's going to always be able to meet my needs because he's going to see to it that people will come into my life. That's developing faith. She develops that kind of faith in God for you, and it builds you up. We'll jump ahead 30 to 40 years. Now, when a fire comes into your life, when you feel like everything's going wrong, anybody been there? What's your expectation? Will God or anyone else be there to help or to encourage me? See, here's where you find out whether that storge love with the formative years really made an impact on you or not. Will they be there? Will someone, am I going to suffer alone through all this? Or will I have to do it myself? If I can't expect someone else to help in my time of need, am I going to have to do it myself? You see, folks, it all begins in our childhood. There are people today that go, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to have to get it done myself or it's not going to get done. Because they can't rely on anybody. What a horrible place to be where you have no one to be able to rely upon in life. No friends that are willing to be friends, true friends. First sign of trouble, psh, they're gone. You know, a true friend's there when you're going through the worst of the worst of the worst and you have the worst bad hair day you've ever had and they're willing to come to be your hairdresser. And when you don't have it, doesn't mean you still can't because there's still hope because you're still living and you're still breathing and you're still sitting here. I haven't seen anybody walk out the double doors yet. You can receive it. And God is willing to bring people into your life. Ask for it. Pray for it. Converse with your Father in heaven. He's your daddy. He's your Abba Father. He wants this for you. He made you for it. He designed you for it. Nothing else can fill that void but him. And him through people, the church, Christians. Let's go beyond that. Christians. Because we're two or three gathered, then we're having church, right? Christians are designed to be love bugs, or should be. But you can't give what you don't have. So you got to ask for it. So if you're one that was never nurtured properly as a young child, yep, God will work through people. And guess what? I want you to know that there's healing for you because we do have a four-year health seminar that Teresa talked about in July. And those 3 days, are it's everything it's all about. Getting past the childhood years of whether dad or mom or uncle or aunt or God or someone or teacher or this or yourself or even when you were in the womb, what was being spoken by mom and dad, because the child, believe it or not, has been one with the mother. And so what the mother speaks and what the mother hears and what the mother goes through, that child's receiving all of that. If the mother never wanted a child, thought of aborting a child, but never did, but the child was born, what do you think's going through a child as they're growing up? They've already received that I am being rejected feeling. Do you catch that? These are some of the principles that we go through in four-year health in the seminar that we have. So if you haven't signed up and you haven't taken it, my suggestion is whatever you, take 3 vacation days, do whatever you have to do. It's on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do it. It's the best thing you'll ever do for yourself besides read the Bible and, you know, and God. If I had one thing to do, I said in this church all the time, would it be to preach or to do that seminar? I'd do that seminar rather than preach because more lives are changed through that seminar. Because it is still preached because in the seminar we do give you the first day is all the word. Then the second and third day is all Holy Spirit and God. Wow, you get the logos and then you get all the rhema the next 2 days. Awesome. But it will lead you to the Father for healing. We don't. We're just coaches. We just help you. The seminar will lead you to the Father for healing. And remember that the battle is in our soul, our mind. Never forget that the battle's in your mind. And love, listen, love is one of the most powerful weapons we need to defeat the enemy. We always talk about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. But love, if my definition is correct from John, God is love. And I'd much rather go into battle with God than anything else. Now, we have a lot of what God said here. But God is love. He says, I am that I am. When Moses, who are you? I am that I am. I'm everywhere. I'm in all places at all times. Omnipresent, omnipotent. That means all powerful, omniscient, all knowing. You can go into battle with God. There's nothing that our God can't do, and you cannot be defeated. The victory's already been won. We're just carrying it out. But sometimes we don't carry it out. Sometimes we want to just sit back and not enforce what God has won. So then we become a casualty. Even though the war's over, even though the battle's been won, there's a period of time that we must continue to enforce the law. Oh, that's the Old Testament. We're going to talk about that next week. We'll talk about whether the law is bad or good, whether the law is enforced or not enforced. We know it doesn't get us saved, but we know that the law is good inherently, right? That's next week. The law can save your life, or it can take your life. Man, I'm into next week, and I got 20 minutes left here. I got to stay in this week. That's because I just got done with that last night. I like to continue my thoughts after the first sermon. I do. I want God to just continue that process, right? Okay, so the battle is in your soul. And love is our powerful weapon. Marriages, folks, marriages, marriages, marriages. Marriages suffer when one's natural storge love needs have not been met. If you never had your storge, natural love, affection, mother needs met when you were young in your formative years, what do you think you're going to carry into your marriage? All that you know. If you don't get healed from that, if you don't receive that, you're going to have a marriage that is going to be a little bit more difficult to navigate through. And then, whoa, have kids? Compound that. Can you see where you have to have a strong foundation? It's like building a house without a strong foundation. You keep going from story to story to story, and that foundation, without it, is going to make that house topple. So get it. If you ain't got it yet, let's get it, and we'll help you. That's what the church is for. To equip the saints for works of service. And part of your works of service is to love your wife as Christ loves the church, men. And for the ladies, to submit to their husbands and to, again, be their helpmeet. Doesn't make you of lesser value, just have different roles, right? And that mother's role is what we're talking about today in those formative years of raising a child. Again, marriages will suffer if your storge love needs are not met. The relationship becomes solely based on what in the Greek is called phileo love. That's sexual love. That's two people that have gotten married that doesn't really know what it means to love one another. They don't know what agape love is or storge natural love is. So what do they base their marriage on? Sex. And how long do you think that'll last? That's why we see so many divorces. Because there's a natural sexual attraction, and people get married for that, and then all of a sudden, after a while, that dissipates and fades, because that's not lasting. And we see the breakup of marriages. There's a lack of ability to care about others' needs when you simply rely on phileo love. You don't care about the other person's needs. You just want your needs met. Remember, unmet needs make people sick. If you have unmet needs in your life, your immune system that God created in you and stuff like that begins to go haywire, and you know you can get sick from that. It's just like when we eat from the fruit of God's tree, love, joy, right? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Well, you know what they're labeled? Fruit of the Spirit. When we eat of the fruit of the Spirit, relationships are just nurtured and developed and strengthened and powerful. But if we start working and holding on to bitterness and anger and resentment and accusation and fear and unlovingness and all of that, we're eating from Satan's tree. And what do you think that's going to produce? Rotten fruit. And so our lives become just a big mess. So we need to develop the fruit of the Spirit, right? Because he's there. The agape love's there. You just got to tap into it. You see, mothers are the primary source of love in our growing years, as I said. We develop trust, listen now, bonding, the ability to give love, the capability of developing a healthy relationship. All of these attributes are formed in those first couple of years of life. And as we go even further from there, where dad comes in to help. We need trust, we need bonding, we need the ability to give love. Because that's what gives us healthy relationships. And you can see it. The world is full of unhealthy relationships. Yes, even in church, especially in church and in Christian circles. Because we think we've got it all together. Now we got Jesus, so everything was deposited in us and we're all okay now. Well, then why did Paul write from Romans to Jude about sanctification? It's great to get saved and wait for the bus and to know that we're going to heaven. But, you know, Romans to Jude was written so that we could what? Grow and mature and become so that we could glorify God in all that we say and do. We can't stop at the altar. The marriage doesn't stop after you say, I do. Now you begin the marriage. It's just the start of the journey. Salvation occurs when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but then that salvation continues through deliverance and healing and all of the things that God purchased on the cross for you. If it was just our ticket to heaven, we'd have been raptured when we said, I do, and we'd be in heaven with God now. You're here for a purpose. And the church needs to be able to convey that to you so that you can grow. And it's not just when I say the church, it's one another when we're walking in these healthy relationships. So we develop all this healthy relationship from the mother. The first 2 years of life, here's a statistic for you. The first 2 years of life with mom are crucial. It is the third, fourth, and fifth year that the bonding with the father begins to occur. Now that might not be what happened in your life. I'm just telling you that in the normal process, the first 2 years with mom are crucial because of the things we've already talked about. Third, fourth, and fifth year, in comes dad. So, mom's the bomb from conception to two. Okay? From conception to 2 years old, mom is the bomb. It is scientifically proven that whatever emotions and feelings a mother is going through while carrying a child in the womb are imparted to the child. Wow. Will that preach at an abortion clinic? It's been scientifically proven. You can see even through ultrasounds, and we won't get into all of that, that at conception, when God said, and mom and dad did, and you were conceived, at that point in time, you became a human being. Before that, you are a spiritual whatever. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll ask him how he knew us before the foundation of the world and all that kind of stuff. I don't know where I was before I was born, but I was in the heart of God. But when conception comes, life begins at conception. And any other heresy that is spoken to you differently is just that. Heresy. But we don't beat those people with bats. It's the truth that sets us free. And it's love that's our most powerful weapon. So love them and give them the truth. Whether they receive it or reject it is up to them. But you do your part. Not whack them over the head and picket them down and do whatever it's done. That's only going to create more animosity and you may have a different point of view in that. And that's okay. But I'm here to tell you biblically that life begins at conception. And the best way to win someone into the truth, at least for me, was love. Not the pointing of the finger. Oh, there's a healthy scare once in a while to say, hey, you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You see them on the street corners in New York sometimes. They got the placards on and it says turn or burn, you know. They'll probably win a couple. But I don't think that that's the major way we as Christians are to present the gospel. I look to the life of Jesus Christ, who sat in the middle of brothels and tax collectors and all these evil people and just kind of sat there, loved on them, and told them about the kingdom. And it was up to them to receive or not receive it. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is God. God is love. And that is what you are to be. So mom, she's the bomb, right? And then dad comes into the picture. Folks, it's a mother's relationship that enables us to receive love in a healthy way and then give it to others. A child who grows up without this love will most likely turn out to be a monster. And I say it that way because they become independent, angry, antisocial, and defiant. Why? Because they've lived without love. And what's the opposite of love? Hate, fear. And so if you grow up in that environment, that's going to translate into being defiant, antisocial, angry. You know, we see it today in America, right? You know, everybody's got to work, carry 2 cars, 2 homes, 3 houses, Mom's rarely at home with the child, and I'm not accusing you if you're both having to work in order to meet, make ends meet. But if we deny a child that love, that it has to come from a mom, and we're so busy with the world and keeping ourselves in it and whatever, and we deny the child their God-given rights from you because you're too busy for anything else. That's why we see latchkey kids, a lot of these, they're seeking, they need love, they've been designed for that. So they get have to do it with drugs or people that are not, so they're teaching them the wrong stuff. Hence why there's so many more homeschooling moms and dads today. Because now our world is so upside down that our teachers are teaching kids that they can choose what sex they want to be. No, they can't. They're born with what God gave them. I don't care how much they say that they're not. It's what they are. It's what God created them to be. But we've become so twisted with our thinking that we think we can just say that we can be anything that we want to be. Well, that's independence, and that's the world, and that's people without God. You can't be anything you want to be. You need to be what you were created to be, and you need to find out what that is when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into it. And that's the responsibility of the church, to help people get saved. Evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, and prophets, all 5 of them work together to bring people into the kingdom. And then you grow everybody up so that we teach our kids the same things and we have a healthy society. And the reason it's broken down is because sometimes where the line was broken, it never got repaired. I'm telling you here, if your line was broken, you can be the repairer of the breach. This is the day the Lord hath made. You can choose to rejoice and be glad in it. His mercies are new every morning. You can be changed right now. You don't have to live with anger or resentment or bitterness or a sad heart anymore. God is available. Always. Many ungodly behaviors develop from a lack of natural storge love, such as immorality. We talked about that. Addictions. Lesbianism, homosexuality, a depraved mind. Where do you think that stuff came from? Sin. It came from a lack of love. And when we have a lack of love, we search for love in all the wrong places, and it usually leads to sin. The pig pen, if you will. As we studied earlier on with the prodigal son. Well, Pastor, I've learned to deal with it. That's how I grew up, and I've learned to deal with it, and I'm doing okay. Really? Really? 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I've got the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries, and I got all knowledge, and I got all faith, so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, wow, awesome. And I surrender my body to be burned for the cause of Christ, I would add, right? But I'm not supposed to add, so I'll just say be burned. But do not have love, it profits me nothing. I'm doing okay, Pastor. I've made a good living. I'm providing for my family. I go to church every Sunday. I do all that. I feed the poor. I prophesy, I do these kinds of things. I stand and give a good sermon, or I sit and I serve on the food on Saturdays, and I can go into prayer groups and do all that kind of stuff. Awesome. But without love? And you're doing all those things legalistically, if you should I say, or because you know you just want to be a good steward or whatever? But have not love? God says what? Get away from me, I never knew you. Remember Jesus when they came up to him and said, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And Jesus said, get away from me. I never knew you. You never had love. You never really fulfilled what God created you for. He doesn't need servants. He didn't need grasshoppers. He doesn't need people jumping high enough and doing enough to try to get things done. He can call upon anybody, anywhere, anytime, even a donkey to do his bidding. He doesn't need bellhops. We're sons and daughters before we're servants. We serve because we're sons and daughters. But if you're serving to become a son and daughter, you got to twist it. That's not going to happen. Take a look at some of love's alternatives. Okay? I'm going to take the last few minutes here. Take a look at some of love's alternatives. Maybe it's addictions. And I'm going to just go slowly because I want, don't be condemned by anything that's being mentioned if you see what I'm saying is in you. If you're a born-again Christian, get convicted. And then go to the one who's right there, who's convicting you, to say, hey, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I've tried on my own to get over it. I can't. I need you. Help me. Notice what I said. Help me. That doesn't mean, hey, you do it yourself, Holy Spirit, because if you don't do it, I'm not going to do it. No, help me means I'm going to do everything possibly that I can to put it in motion. Holy Spirit, give me the victory. Help me means, okay, God, you're going to do it all for me, and I'm just going to sit down. No, you're the hands and feet of the Lord. You get going. You start doing it and do it, and he'll give you the strength to get through it. That's what help me means. That's what the helper is. The helper, the Holy Spirit called the helper, is the one who helps you. That doesn't mean that you're passive and you sit down and do absolutely nothing. He's your helper. He's the best helper you'll ever have. He'll pick you up when you fall down. He'll root you on when you can't root yourself on anymore. When you're thinking it'll never get done, it'll get done. But you got to put it in motion. That's just the way it works. So it may be addictions that people turn to. Love's alternatives are addictions. Incessant working habits. You've seen those people. They just work all the time because they don't want to have to deal with relationships and love and have to be relational. So I'll just work. If I work all day and all night and stuff like that, I won't have to love my kids. I won't have to love my wife. If I work, I won't have to hug anybody in church. But if I sit, behind my desk all the time and stuff like that, then I won't get involved with that stuff that causes problems all the time. For me. Well, it shouldn't cause you problems. It should cause you great joy. And it can. And it will. Because you're listening to this and it's coming in and I'm praying, Holy Spirit, it's just going to just float down in there, get into the heart, and then it's going to just bubble up and you're going to get the helper to help you to be able to begin to understand that Father God can provide everything that I'm talking about to you right now, even if you don't have a mom and dad that are alive or maybe they weren't one that was for you in this world. Right now, Father God, because he has a mother's heart, can provide the mother's love to you and the father's love. And the agape, unconditional love. And any other kind of love that you can think of, God is love. He knows it all and can give it to you supernaturally and through people whom he can trust. So it might be addictions, incessant working habits, anxiety, fear, insecurities, rejection, even emotional numbness. You've seen people who are just emotionally numb. A bomb could go off and they're the same. Huge celebration, 4th of July, they're the same. They've emotionally checked out because they never received the proper emotions to have what it takes to instigate the response, the catalyst to go forward. But that can change for you today. Why do I keep saying that? Because I don't want this message just to be information that comes in that says, yep, that's who I am and I have no hope. No, you have a lot of hope. The reason you're getting this message is because God knows you're sitting here and he wants to take care of this problem in your life if you have it. Or you wouldn't be hearing it. But remember, don't sit down and fold your arms and say, okay, God, hit me. Throw it in me. Storge me. Agape me. Phileo me. All words for love, right? We just covered. Do it, God. I'm waiting. Take that first step. Take it. Keep walking. He'll keep you straight, or he may just turn you straight around going, you're going the wrong way with that one. You're heading into the wrong type of love. Trust God. He's God or he's not. He can do the impossible or he can't. You're either serving a God that can change your life and form you and create you into the person you're supposed to be, or he's not. If you don't believe he can do that, then why are you even here? Because that's a weak God, and we don't have a weak God. We got a God that knew you before you were ever born. Of course he knows he can help you. Help you. Any of those things like addictions and incessant working habits and stuff sound good to you? Doesn't sound good to me. I'd look for the alternative, wouldn't you? Folks, a lack of love will leave you uncomfortable with God. Listen to me, because he is love. A lack of love will leave you uncomfortable with God, so you begin seeking comfort in all the wrong places, and you will stop liking yourself. At some point, you will stop liking yourself. I'm not worthy. I'm not able. No one can love me. I'm not lovable. I'm not receivable. Folks, I'm telling you today, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Every one of God's loving creations of us as people are loved more than you could possibly ever know. But you can't know that love until you know the love. You can't love other people until you know the love of God. Until the love of God is in you, you can't give away what you do not have. And I know I keep saying that, but it's true. Don't stop liking yourself, because then you're calling God a liar. Because he loves you. And he built you the way you are. You just may be functioning in some of the wrong gears. In turn, you will stop liking those around you. Once you stop liking yourself, guess what? Everybody else suffers. You'll stop liking those around you. We become negative, right? We become accusatory. When we lack the natural love of storge love, sexual love goes haywire. That's why we see the immorality we see in the world. When they can't get the love at home, then they're going to find it everywhere else. We need a strong foundation of that storge love that we, again, that we receive at conception. But if you didn't, healing's available. So what do we do to close this up? First, here's at least one avenue that I'm offering, or should I say God is offering through this to give to you. First, we must realize that no human being can fully meet our need for love. If you're worshiping your husband, or your wife, or your children, hopefully not your pastor, or your elder, or your sound man. No human being can meet your need fully for love. So do not manipulate people to be what they can't be. See, if you don't manipulate people into being your source for love in everything. We do it all the time when we lack that love from God. That puts a lot of pressure on your spouse or your teacher or your or whoever, your church, fellow church member. Oh, the church should meet all my love needs. They should pay every bill I have. They should meet every need I have if I'm hungry and stuff and all that kind of stuff. Whoa! We're ultimately going to fail you, and we might not even have the money or the resources. Your trust has to be fully in God. And if this church can't do it, there'll be another one out there if you're trusting God. But no man, and put your trust in no man, woman, or child. Fully put your trust in God. That's first. And don't manipulate others, because otherwise you're going to suck the life out of them. You've seen those people who come up to you and they suck the life right out of you because you're the one that's supposed to meet all their needs, emotionally, physically, whatever. And you see that person coming and your life just goes, they're just a vacuum going, I need all of my emotional and physical and spiritual needs met by you. Don't do it. That's the first thing you got to recognize when you want to get this love thing in order, right? Don't do it. Only God can meet your deepest needs. We need a supernatural encounter of God's love to break forth in your heart. So pray for it. Pray for it. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. Wow, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now you know where it is. Now get it out. Get out of the way, folks. Let the love of God come out. It's there. It's sitting there. Get out of the way. Well, how do I get out of the way? Sometimes I have to remove things. Hence, I'm plugging our For Your Health, because that's why God gave it to us 25 years ago. It's one of the reasons we exist as a church, because I believe it was revelation from God that says people, the body of Christ, needs the sanctification process. They know they're going to heaven, they're saved, hallelujah, but they got so much oppression on their life. They don't have any victory in their life. There's no healing and deliverance going on anymore, like we read about in the book of Acts. Sometimes you got to remove things out of the way, and that's what we do. We get those things that are blocking God's love from penetrating and coming out of your heart, such as unforgiveness and bitterness and what I mentioned before, right? Accusation, these things that you've grown up with, will help you. We'll get rid of that. God's using this church to do that for you so that love can be that right there, and that unforgiveness is not sitting between God's love and that. Accusation is not sitting between love and that. An unloving spirit's not sitting there between love and that. Fear is not sitting. Anxiety is not sitting between love and that. You see what I'm saying? There are things that block God's love from penetrating you so that you can give it away. The church was designed so that we could get that off you and equip you to be that instrument for God, to be He can play. The dancing hand of God, that came to my mind. Holy Spirit's been called that. He's the dancing hand of God. He's dancing around from every single one of you with different giftings to be coming out and to minister to the world with. It's the dancing hand of God, the Holy Spirit. Let's dance. To dance, we need to play the music. To play the music, we got to get the rhythm. To get the rhythm, you got to get it in your mind. You got to learn it. So you got to get rid of some of those things like, you know, Mike Spring. I don't think Mike's here today. Anyway, there's a song, and he said, well, we can't play it in church because it's too hippity-hop for all of you guys, but it's called Happy Feet. You in the corner over there with those stone feet, come on. God wants you to get up and dance. It's called Happy Feet, and it'll probably insult half of you. So we're not going to play it, but I listen to it all the time. Now you're going to go home, and you're going to get Happy Feet, you're going to get on the internet, and you're going to play it. But you're never going to admit it, and you're never going to do it in here. Folks, God has never left us alone. The Father formed you in the womb, and He loves you with an everlasting love. Just call on Him. He's always ready to embrace you. We're going to end with this slew of scriptures here. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from the afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Talking to Jeremiah. Well, if he's talking to Jeremiah and Jeremiah's writing to us, then he's talking to us too. Therefore, I've drawn you. How did He draw us? With loving kindness, and that's how you have to be. Just roll them, Pam, 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, and they will. I'm sorry if that happened in your life, and God grieves over it. But man has free will and has choice. So your parents made those choices, and they made the wrong ones. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. If they did, God's going to be there, and He's going to repair you if you're willing. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in His holy habitation, and He habitates in you. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. In other words, why stay in the muck that you're in? Why stay so oppressed as a Christian? There's healing available. Take advantage of it. Now, you may not hear that message in every church that you walk into. I know there's a lot of churches that offer it. You happen to be in one that does, and there's many others that probably do as well. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise from God. For you, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. That means the Holy Spirit isn't leaving. But you have been sustained from my birth. I have been sustained from my birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Yet you are He who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breasts. See, that's the time when we formulate in those formative years the love of God. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Mom is so important. As one from As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. Do you see the comparison between what a mother should be offering a child and what God offers us? And by the way, anyway, can you see now how the heart of the mother and Father God's nature? Can you understand why we see now the heart of a mother and Father God's nature? Isaiah 66:13 tells us. Isaiah 66:13. You don't have that one? Then I'll give it to you. Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Okay, as one. In other words, I am going to comfort you like your mother. That's the heart of God the Father. So if your mother didn't comfort you, God will provide what she could not. Folks, reject counterfeit affections and false loves and allow your Heavenly Father to meet your love needs. Let him pour out his love into those barren areas of your soul, the parts that were never fulfilled when you were growing up. And last but not least, Psalm 131:2, I'm sure we already read. A mother's heart is all about rest. It's about comfort. It's about nurturing. It's about trust. It's about allowing your soul, again, to be comforted by God and allowing your walls to come down. That's big. It's allowing your walls to come down. Let God, through his holy words, speak the words over you that mom never did. Talk to him. Pray and then listen. God desires you to know all aspects of his love towards you.